Tonight's guest in the Legends of Greyhound Hockey, the tall, lanky forward out of Swift Current, Saskatchewan, Jeff Toms. Jeff, welcome to the broadcast tonight.
Thanks for having me, Spank.
Well, Jeff, pleasure to get the interviews with the legendary Greyhound players here yourself. Tell the Greyhound listeners a little bit about how you got to Sault Ste. Marie out of the Toronto area minor hockey.
Well, I was drafted to the Sioux Greyhounds in the 13th round. Good story there. I wasn't really planning on going to the OHL. I didn't really know a lot about Sault Ste. Marie, other than that the Eric Lindros series there that was being broadcast. That was going on right before our draft day, so there was a lot of press about that. And it was obviously quite a good story of them beating them in the playoffs. So I got drafted to the Greyhounds and didn't really plan on going the OHL route. I was thinking more of going to school. I was talking to Notre Dame at the time, and that seemed to be my intended path. And then crazy situation. The Greyhounds called right before training camp, and they're like, is Jeff coming to training camp? And my dad was speaking to them, and he said, probably not. We're probably going to go the college route. And they were, you know, Sherry Basson, the ever convincing general manager, was like, oh, bring him up. Let's go. Let's get him up to this camp and get him some ice time and just come for the experience. So my dad gets off the phone, and just lucky enough, he just bought a new car. So he talked to me, and he's like, you know what, let's just take the new car. I want to take it for a road trip. So we'll take it for a road trip up to Sault Ste. Marie and go for a drive. You can play hockey for the weekend and come back, and we'll come back on, I think it was the Sunday, where they do the red and white game. And yeah, we'll be back by the end of the weekend. So we jumped in the car and drove up to Sault Ste. Marie. And to keep the story going, I mean, training camp started, and I don't know, like, it was tough. Like, I remember, like, you're playing against men. Like, I was a young kid. I was never really physically capable to play, like, really good hockey, probably till I was mid-20s. So, I mean, I was tall, and I was probably 6'5", 160-something pounds. And I mean, those eras were different, Spank. You know how those eras were hockey. Like, there were some big men out there. And I guess they saw something in me, because, like, Basson, well, at the end of that, they asked me to play the red and white game. And I played the red and white game, and next day we came to the rink, and I was talking to my father, and he's like, you know what, my dad said, don't quit. They said, let's put the ball in their court and get them to say no, and then we can leave. So we kind of had a little, you know, we didn't have an agent or anything, and we had a plan of what we thought would be a good signing for myself. And I went into Sherry Basson's office, and, you know, we sat down and started chatting, and, you know, I basically asked for the world. Like, I was a 13th round pick, and I was asking for first round, like, education packages. And Sherry looks at me, and he's like, well, yeah, that sounds good, we'll get that done. And why don't you go across the street to the Busy Bee with your father and have some breakfast and get back, and we'll have all the paperwork done. So I remember walking out of the office, and I looked at my dad, and my dad's getting up, putting his coat on, and, like, getting ready to go. And I'm like, Dad, they said yes. Sherry said yes to everything we talked about. And my dad just looked at me, and he's like, your mother is gonna effing kill me. And that's it. That's how I became a Sioux Greyhound. Like, it was just a crazy turn of events, but the best thing that ever happened to me.
Well, Jeff, what a career in the red and white you had. 159 games played over the three seasons, 77 goals, 73 assists, 150 points. Your rookie year, the 1990-91 season, the team did quite well, eventually made it to the Memorial Cup, lost to that Kamloops Blazers in that championship game. After that, you heard your name called in the 92 entry draft in the ninth round, 210th overall, the New Jersey Devils. So obviously, with a year under your belt, that second year was a big one for yourself, the 92-93 Memorial Cup championship year for the Greyhounds. Boy, what a team you guys had achieved there. And Coach Ted Nolan, tell the Greyhound listeners all about your experience in that second year going to the Memorial Cup and carrying the trophy.
Well, I think you're, like you said, what a special year. But the first year kind of set the table for my first season set the table for that home win of that Memorial Cup. We had a really good team that year, and losing the way we did in Kamloops, that's hockey, just on a freak play. And it was heartbreaking, and it stuck with us. And like, thinking back now, that adversity like created a bond in that second year that was just unmatched. I mean, we were on a mission, and we were talking before, I don't think we really had the best team, to tell you the truth. I don't think we had the most skilled team. I don't think we had like any one particular thing, other than we were just a great team. Like, we could play the game any way you wanted to. We had amazing leadership in Rick Kowalski. We had like high-end forwards in Ralph Internuvo and Jarrett Reed. Our back end was solid, like Drew Bannister, Mark Mateer, Sean Gagne was back there, Brian Thompson. These are really, really solid individuals. And then obviously our goalie, like the big thing was when we got Kevin Hodson back from pro hockey to finish his year there. And it's just a team. It's a team that, like, as I went on in sports, you just look back and you're like, that was probably one of the best teams I've ever played on. Not just because we won a championship, it's just we were always prepared to play. Like, if a team wanted to play skilled, we played skilled. If a team wanted to play hard, we played hard. If a team wanted to fight, we had more than enough guys willing to fight. Like, it was just, it was one of those special groups. And then put that all together with Teddy Nolan and Danny Flynn. And it was a special mix. I mean, you got two coaches who were world class in the junior level. Like, we got them on the up and up. Like, Teddy obviously went on to achieve great things, and just him being such an amazing motivator. He had this amazing ability to make you think you were an underdog, yet you were capable of, like, overcoming any adversity. And he was such an honest, like, upfront coach that got the best out of everybody in the room. Like, you felt like you were part of it. And then you take Danny, and he was a modern era coach in the 90s. Like, he was so, like, technically sound, and his tactics were like, they were way beyond where we were at, like, in that hockey state, the state of hockey. Like, he was in a modern area of tactics and teaching us these things. And it was a special group.
Jeff, take us back, take the Greyhound listeners back into that dressing room, the big crowd at the old Memorial Gardens going crazy, the team with that victory in the championship game over the Peterborough Petes. Tell the Greyhound listeners what it was like in that room after carrying that Memorial Cup around the Sioux, out on Queen Street, on the Zamboni, the whole deal. Talk about your experience.
That was special. Like, that was, I remember being in the dressing room and before warm up, and I remember the crowd, it was packed. It was a full house for warm ups. And even 20 minutes before warm-ups, you hear the horns going, and they were chanting and singing in the stands. It was an all-out party. And to win it at home like we did, it was just it was almost like it was just it was storybook. After the game, it's almost like a blur. Like you just it all started happening at once. People were running out onto Queen Street. I remember there was certain individuals on our team that ran across in their skates to the timeout lounge and ran into the bar and were like jumping into the crowd at the bar, and they might have had a couple cocktails and then came back to the rink. They loaded the Zambonis up. The old Zambonis, I don't know for like anybody listening now, the old Zambonis, they had the snow would just pour in the top, so it was open. So we all jumped into the Zamboni. They had two Zambonis, and they drove them down Bay Street and then down Queen Street. And people were out on the streets. It was absolute pandemonium downtown. I don't think I would be hard-pressed to find a better celebration after a Memorial Cup win than that one that happened in Sault Ste. Marie in 93.
Jeff, we got to move on and talk about your great career after with the Greyhounds. Obviously, in the National Hockey League with, I believe, six different teams, Tampa Bay, the Capitals, the Islanders, the Rangers, Pittsburgh, and Florida. Of course, playing over in Europe for many, many years and your Spanger Cup experiences. Tell the Greyhound listeners a little bit about that.
Well, after the Greyhounds, I hit pro hockey there. And for me, it was a tough go for probably, I'd say, 4 or 5 years. I did have some success, but like I said earlier, like I was not physically ready to be a successful pro hockey player. The game was different. I mean, these were the big men hooking, holding, hitting, fighting. I wasn't physically able to handle that game. I could handle the skill side, but probably till I was mid-20s. Then I started to get, I guess, my man strength. And then I had a couple years in North America, and then I moved on to Europe. Had a little stop in Russia, which was eventful. I mean, at the time, not the best experience. I just was there. They took these North American players, and you were just isolated and... I didn't even know who the head coach was for like 3 weeks into the season. I actually thought the assistant coach was our head coach. And that was a blessing too, that wasn't well. Cause then, I went to Switzerland, and Switzerland was, just a great experience. Had two of my children were born in Switzerland, and it's a great country. And, I have so many friends and contacts still to this day from there. And, as far as being a pro hockey player, you know, if, when you're finished up in North America, if you can play in one of those countries such as Switzerland, it's a great life experience that I'll never forget.
Well, Jeff, I had the opportunity to come and do this interview at your home and see all the artifacts of just amazing, your Spangler Cup, your Memorial Cup rings, the pitchers, an amazing career that you had. Got to be honored. Your boy is now a member of the Sioux Greyhounds, playing in the red and white. Tell the Greyhound listeners how proud you are of that.
I'm very proud. That's we are so blessed as a family to be able to have our son stay home. And the fact that it's not just that the Greyhounds are such a great organization, but I know the people involved are great people too. Like I'm so ecstatic that his D coach is Jordan Smith. You know, I watched Jordan play and start his career with the Greyhounds and then move on and had that unfortunate accident. I mean, with that not happening, you know, Jordan no doubt would have had an NHL career, undoubtedly. So he's in good hands with his D coach there and with the whole coaching staff and management. It's not only being part of the Greyhounds, it's just being part of a great organization, which they've become first class over the past few years. And just tonight, it'll be so special just to go down to the rink and not only watch a Greyhound game, but watch your son play. It's great. I'm really enjoying it.
Well, Jeff, there's never enough time to do these interviews. Share quickly a funny story for the Greyhound listeners. They love to hear a story from maybe one that you can tell on this.
Yeah. We had some good times. A funny story. I'm sure all the Greyhound listeners will remember a guy named Jody Murphy from back in the day. And there was, I was, I put my clothes out on the line. I didn't. My billet parent put my clothes out on the line at our house on Walnut Street, and we had these Greyhound tracksuits that we wore all the time. And somebody stole my laundry from the line. So they went in the back, took all my laundry in the line. So I was coming to the rink. The guys would all come in their tracksuits, and I would come in. I'd have sweatpants on or a sweatshirt, and they're like, "Where's your tracksuit?" I'm like, "It got stolen." And they're like, "Yeah, sure, it got stolen. You lost it or whatever." And I'm like, "No, I'm not joking. My laundry got stolen off the line." And so, anyways, this goes on like for it had to be months. And then one day we're playing, and Jody Murphy walks in the room. He's like, "Tomsy, I got your tracksuit." And I'm like, "Shut up. Like, are you kidding me?" And he was with Brian Thompson. They drove to the rink together. He had my tracksuit in his hand. And he's like, I talked to Brian after, and we all know what kind of player Jody was. So they were driving down Queen Street, and they saw this guy walking down Queen Street in my tracksuit number 25. And they're like, That's Tomsy's tracksuit. So Brian says, Jody yells at me. He's like, "Stop the car now." So stop the car. Jody jumps out of the car. And Jody was, for those who don't know, he was probably 6'5", 245 pounds. Like, he was a huge human being. And he jumps out of the car and he stops this guy on Queen Street. He's like, "Where'd you get that tracksuit?" He's like, "Oh, I got it." And he said, "Take it off right now." This is Queen Street, middle of winter. Brian's telling the story. He's like, Jody's like, "No, you take that tracksuit off right now. I know it's not yours." So this guy gets undressed on Queen Street, right down to his t-shirt and his underwear. Jody takes the tracksuit, jumps in the car, and away he goes. So I don't know. Maybe that guy's listening. That guy, he's listening to the story. Yeah, that happened.
What an amazing story. Final thoughts, Jeff. We got to wrap it up. Playing in Sault Ste. Marie in that Memorial Gardens, the fans. I'd like to thank you on behalf of the fans for your great memories for them here in the Sioux. But just your thoughts of playing in the Sioux and the fans quickly.
Oh, it's the best. I mean, like, the best, by like hands down. It's such a great place to play because they're not only passionate fans, they're knowledgeable fans. So they know when the team's doing well. They know they see good hockey. They see potential. They understand the process of like developing teams, and they've seen it over the years. It's a great fan base. I mean, I look forward. If one thing, you know, one of the many things that COVID's taken from us is that full house at the GFL now, where they get behind a team and you can just see it. Like it's so energetic, and the players feed off it, and it's such a great place to be when that barn gets rocking. And that's how it was in back in the old Memorial Gardens, day in, day out. And hopefully we get past this COVID and we get back to a full house downtown.
Thanks a lot, Jeff.
Yay. Anytime.